Good News Church is weird. For most of my life, church was a place of rules, fear, and judgment. It was a place that often represented an unknowable, impersonal, mean-spirited, and highly unpredictable God. You never know what God's going to do. God is trying to punish you, teach you, by giving you or your family member a life-threatening illness. Maybe God will help you. Maybe he won't. He works in mysterious ways, you know. God doesn't want women to speak in church. A woman can't teach a man. God is in control. Nothing happens without his permission. Look at those black, brown, tan people with the tattoos, piercings, simple clothes. They aren't like us. And how about those people with addictions, hurts, needs, brokenness? They're not like us either. They need a lot of work. Maybe God can help them after they get their act together. Such were the phrases that shaped my vision of God and why I decided that if these things were true, then God wasn't going to be a part of my life. And yet, there were these inner promptings to know more, to learn more. There was that still, small voice that told me, those ideas aren't mine. That is not me. You know who I am. So, I actually took the time to read the Bible. Gasp! And in it, I discovered a Lord and Savior that my heart recognized. Here was my encourager, my strength, my wisdom, and my protector. Here was my Father, my Abba, the very one who taught me how to love, how to persevere, how to live with mercy and compassion. The one who showed me that there was enough grace, enough love, enough hope, enough wisdom, and enough forgiveness daily for all of humanity. But where was my Father in the churches I had passed through? I caught fleeting glimpses of him. But the notion of church was proving to be something that I was accepting as just not possible in my life. The contradictions between my Father and the places that represented him were too great. I would just need to have church on my own at home and keep my weird notions to myself. But God. After living in Augusta for more than a decade, I turned down Warren Road one day. I didn't have any business there. I knew no one who lived in the area, and I wasn't really looking for any place in particular. I saw Good News on the left, this weird little roundish building, and I thought, I didn't know this place was here. I wonder what they're like. So, we decided to come that Sunday. We figured it wouldn't hurt. We'd already been to many churches, and we didn't really have the highest hopes that anything would be different here. But there was a small prompting to try anyway. We sat down and listened to the guest pastor, Walker Scherz. He spoke of a good God, a God who had a good plan for our lives, of his infinite mercy and of his love. What? How was it possible that this stranger had been in my living room the night before and had listened to the words we spoke? How did he know the secret we knew? It was just weird. We loved it, but we figured it was just a fluke. It was the guest pastor after all. We'd never met a local pastor who believed and spoke of our Abba. We wondered what these Judd people were like. So the next Sunday, we went back. Pastor Susie went to the pulpit and gave the offering message. She began, "Yes, I'm a woman, and I'm speaking in church. No, lightning is not going to strike." I loved her profoundly and immediately. She continued speaking, and she was weird. Pastor Matt then delivered a message about this God, this Abba that our spirits identified, and we slowly became aware that this was not a fluke. He painted a picture of a knowable, personable, and loving God. There were actual people who believed and professed what we knew to be true. So weird. We met the youth pastor, Nate Barber. He had an earring, tattoos, a beautiful voice, and infectious love for God. He would soon help to give my son purpose and direction. I grew to love him immensely. Myths of God were shattered for us and replaced with truth and ease. We soon became members of this weird little church, where we found imperfect people having a love affair with a perfect God. Good News Church is weird. We love you. Thank you for all you have done to be abnormal in a world where normal denies the goodness and grace of our loving Father. Thank you for confirming, showing, and teaching Jesus of the Bible. Thank you for affirming our identity in Christ. Thank you for being the leaders, friends, encouragers, and examples that each of you are for us. You can't choose your family. That's a saying. That's not entirely true. We would choose you again if we could. We love you, Rick, Gina, and Ian.
That was awesome. Praise God. Yeah, I do have to make a comment, though, about how big my mouth was. Did you notice that? It was right on. Thank you. Yeah. I noticed that Nate looked like a rock god, and the rest of us looked, well, anyway. Praise God. Well, it has been 18 years, and I remember before there was Good News Church, and I remember a whole lot of things that happened to bring us to the point of even launching Good News Church November the 12th, 1995. And, you know, there were things that God had been dealing with us about for many years, and there was a desire within us that had just been growing and growing, and it had begun to burn. And, you know, if people talk about a burning desire, I understand, because it was something we tried to get away from but couldn't get away from, this desire within us to see people, see their lives change, to see them really encounter God for who He is, and to see people hear the truth that God is a good God. Just what we heard there from Gina and the Turner story, that God is a good God, that He is a loving and kind and benevolent God. And I tell you, God has had some bad press over the years. And the saddest thing is most of the bad press has come out of churches. It's come out of pulpits. It's come out of Christians. And many of you are sitting here. I've received a lot of testimonies in the last couple of weeks, and you're going to hear several here. And a common theme through all these testimonies is that I didn't know God was a good God. I didn't know He was loving and kind and benevolent and generous and forgiving and very, very gracious. And so we realized more than 18 years ago that we've been very privileged to know God for who He is and to know His loving kindness. And we knew God called us to reach people with that message. Thus, Good News. Good News Church. It's good news. Good news. He's a good God, and there's good news. I wanted to read a couple of scriptures that had really been on our hearts and really been theme verses for our church over these last 18 years. And the first one is in John chapter 10 and verse 10. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified today. It says, "The thief," not God, not Jesus, but the thief, the enemy, the devil, "comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy." So if it's being stolen, if there's killing going on, if there's destruction of any kind, we know who to pin that on. We know who's responsible. And then this is Jesus speaking, and He goes on to say, "I came that they may have and enjoy life." Imagine that, that God wants us to have life and enjoy it. "And have it in abundance, to the full, till it overflows." And we know the reason He wants that life to overflow from within us is because there's a whole lot of other people that need life. And that life that overflows us, His goodness, His kindness, as that overflows us into other people, we'll see other lives changed and impacted. Now, we know God's not the problem. Lots of people think God is the problem. There are a lot of people this morning who aren't in church because they think, why would I want to go to church and be with a judgmental God and be with all those people who do nothing but condemn me and make me feel badly? Who wants that? And so they're not in church. But that's why what Nate talked about is so true, you know, so much the mission of our church is we have to go out from here and we have to share with people what God has done for us. Just like 18 years ago when Matt and I and a few other brave souls said, hey, yes, we'll do this, we'll start a church, we'll launch Good News Church, so that there will be a voice. There will be people proclaiming God's goodness. It's not enough to do it in here. We have to go out there and proclaim His goodness. He came. Jesus, the Bible says, came to show us the Father. And if you follow Jesus and you watch Him in His ministry and you read about what He did in the Gospels, you'll see God was not the problem. It was the devil that was the problem. And the religious people, they were kind of a problem too. But Jesus was not the problem. Jesus came to show us the Father. And what did He do? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. That's such an awesome scripture. I want to read a couple of testimonies. One is from Denise Widener. She tapped me on the shoulder one Sunday and handed me a piece of paper. And it just said this. It said, since I've been coming to Good News Church, I've been richly blessed with an awesome husband. Bobby, why don't you stand? Praise God. A home. We're not living in apartments anymore. God wants you to do better. Wherever you are, whatever place you are, whatever it is, God wants you to do better. And He's not only wanting you to do better, He's made a way for you to do better. Through Jesus, there's a way to do better. Through His power, there's a way to do better. And she said, and I've been richly blessed with great and true Christian friends. That's one of the main things that happens in churches. We come together and share together in fellowship. She said, I've learned here that God is not the mean God that I had been taught He was. And God is not out to get us. And then Cheryl Elms sent me a testimony. And it says, the people of Good News Church are wonderful people and they are loving. Well, the reason that we're loving is because we have a loving God. His love's been shed abroad in our hearts. And if we just live from the love of God, we'll be loving people. The teams all work together to bring forth love. And when I first started attending, the people of Good News Church reached out to me, and it was pretty much unanimous. In the 4 years that I've been attending, I've grown and I've experienced more love than I ever have in a church. When I first accepted Jesus back in 1994, I was learning not to associate myself with non-believers. You know, that's what some churches teach you. That's what some believers think we should do, is cut off any connection that we would have with an unbeliever. Funny, Jesus didn't know about that. I mean, Jesus was famous for hanging out with sinners. Come on. But she said she was being taught that she was not to associate herself with non-believers. I was judged by my past, and I felt inadequate if I made mistakes. Here at Good News Church, I feel loved. I feel like a member of God's family, and I don't feel pressured here. You all want to see the church family prosper and grow, and you teach us to be the light in the world. You teach us to know when there are trials, we are still loved, and how to get help in the world, in the Word, and be led by the Holy Spirit. I was warmly welcomed from the moment I walked in the door, and I don't regret it one bit. I love Good News Church, and I can't imagine my life without my church. Praise God. Another verse that has really carried us over these years and has grown and grown and grown in us, and the revelation and the light of it has just sprung forth, and we're seeing it more and more even still to this day, is over in Ephesians. It's really not just a verse, it's a passage in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, but God, thank God for those two words, but God. And I would say to you today, whatever's happening in your life, whatever you're going through, whatever you came in here with today, whatever circumstances that there are, whatever the enemy's been telling you is going to happen in your life, I have to say to you today, but God, don't forget God, but God. And he goes on to say, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. That's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Praise God. He is rich in mercy. He is great in love. Even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Even when we fell short. Even when we goofed up, messed up, flared up, blew up. Even in the midst of all that. Even then, He is still for us. He is still loving and kind and generous for us. You know, one of the values of our church, which might be the greatest value that we share, is the value of open arms. And I think it's the value that we have as a church that's most common to all of us, open arms. And that image of open arms comes from the story of the prodigal son, the son that had been in father's house and decided to leave. And he left and he went out and he took half of all the father's money and he just blew it. And he didn't blow it on trying to do something good and kind for people. He blew it on riotous living. He blew it on sin and I mean, come on, y'all. You know what he blew it on. Some of y'all used to blow a lot on it, too. And he blew it all, the Bible says. And he ended up in a terrible place. He ended up slopping pigs, which is the most degrading job a young Jewish man could do. And there he was in that, and he remembered his father, and he remembered his father's goodness and his kindness, and he thought, I'll just go back home and see if I can be a servant in my father's house. And when he came back, his father was there watching for him, and his father saw him a far way off, and the Bible says that the father looked up and he saw him, and the father jumped up and began to run towards him. And when he ran towards him, he ran towards him like this. See, that's God. He's running towards us all like this. And he's running towards the whole world with his arms wide open. Open arms. The Bible says that when he ran to him, he embraced him. He fell on his neck. He grabbed him. He hugged him. He loved him. And he didn't say one word about his sin. All he did was talk about the great love he had. This is my beloved son who was lost, but now he's found. That's our Father. Open arms. And because our Father has come to us with open arms, our response is open arms. So we, as a church, have open arms. So we become those open arms to our worlds. We become those open arms to the people that come through here, to the people we meet. Our arms are open with God's goodness, with His heart, with His great love, that great love wherewith He loved us. Our arms are open wide with that great love for the whole world. These open arms, we also saw them on the cross, where Jesus was crucified for our sins, for your sins, for their sins, for the sins of the whole world. He was crucified, and He hung there with His arms wide open to show us the Father's heart. His arms are open. Our arms are open. Good News Church is a place of open arms. Amen? We have a couple more videos for you.
Coming, I mean, I've built relationships with people here. When we first started coming, I'm sure everyone knows I was pregnant, and we lost our baby in March. I'm gonna start crying now. We were never supposed to come to Georgia, but we did. My sister convinced us to come to Good News. I didn't want to, but I did. And when I did, the baby passed away, and it was like, this is where it was supposed to be. Like, if it wasn't for me being here, I don't think that we would have ever made it through what we've been through, and to have the peace that we've had with everything.
When we lost the baby, people came out.
We weren't even in the church that long when that happened. And it was just
2 months, maybe.
It was amazing to see how many people were there for us. I mean, emotionally, financially, everything. Like, everybody had our back. And
that meant
the world to us. And it's taught us to do the same for others. It's crazy because I used to never, like, pray out loud. Like, that was weird to me. Like, I couldn't find the right words. I felt like I wasn't worthy enough to, you know, pray out loud. And now I find myself at work, you know, running into people and praying for them and, you know, asking them if they were okay. And I don't know what made me ask them that, but I did, you know, and find out that they're in need. And we sit there and pray together in the middle of my work. And, I mean, it was just, I can't explain it. Scott hasn't been to church in 16 years, you know, and now he comes every Sunday and he comes with a smile on his face and, you know, knows that the people here care about him. And I think a lot of what our problem was is we blame God for everything that went wrong in our life. Everything we felt like was God's fault because we didn't know any better.
I used to be like that a lot. We did go through a lot of rough stuff when we were together and a lot of things before we even met. And no, she's right. I blame God a lot. But then I sat in one of your classes and you're like, no, God's the one who's the healer and the one that's there for you. There's the enemy. The enemy's out to get you. He's out to make things harder on you. And I was like, that's the simplest thing that explained. Like, why didn't I think of that? Like, God's there. He's helping me. And the enemy and not God is the one who's there lifting us up and supporting us. And, I mean, that was months ago. And every day I think about that. Think about the times, the rough times that we went through, like how we barely got by financially or in our relationship or at work. It's like, oh, we're so lucky, we're so lucky. We're not lucky. You can't have that much luck. I was like, he's there for you, whether you believe it or not. He's always there. And then it took coming here, you know, I was not 16 years out of church. I was lost.
I like to think that we didn't find the church found us. Like I said, God just laid the path out, and we had no idea that it was happening, but it happened, and it was just perfect. I seriously don't know where we would be if it wasn't for the church and to have the love we have for Jesus Christ. I mean, he has fulfilled us in ways that we never even knew that he could, and I don't know. We were lost, and now we're found.
When I first came to Good News Church, you know, I didn't know what to expect. It was a different experience. Anita Thomas initially invited me, and she told me it was a little bit of a different church from what I'm probably used to. So I came, and, you know, it was a lot of different people in the church. It wasn't just one race or just one nationality. So I was like, all right, you know, this is cool. Let me check it out. So, you know, the pastor was preaching. It was a good service. I actually enjoyed it. And I have been going through a lot of different things. You know, I'm originally from New York. Come from Queens, New York. And I was doing a lot of the wrong things when I was back home. So when I came out here, I definitely needed some prayer. Definitely needed God to work some things out for me. So it was a perfect time for me to come to church. And one Sunday, as I was in church, the pastor, he had a real good message. He started saying, if anybody needs prayer, if you're going through something, hard times, or, you know, anything, come up. And I went up, and that was the day. I didn't realize it, you know. I just felt the Spirit come over me. I just went up, and I just needed prayer for a situation that I was going through. And I went up there and told him what it was, and he prayed for me, and I actually got saved that day. And I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior that day. And I felt him working through me from that day on, but I didn't realize how important it would be up until this point. Before, I used to come every once in a while. I'd come every other Sunday, or, you know, I never would really come on Wednesdays, maybe once in a blue, but I told myself, you know, like, I don't have to be in church every week or whatever. That was just me. I felt I wasn't ready for it. So, but since I've been back, I've been every Sunday and every Wednesday. And I started noticing that the more time I've been spending, the more he's been working my life. For sure. I'm 34 years old. And for years, that's what I battled on. Like, oh, you know, I thought you had to walk this high and mighty road to be a Christian or just to worship God. And you don't know how wrong you are until you start feeling him working in your life. So give it a chance. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? You know, I mean, the bad things in your life, because if you even questioning giving yourself to God or learning more about God, something is not right in your life in the first place. You know, I come from a criminal background, so a lot of my friends, they respected me for that. So when they hear me talking like this, they definitely respect it. And I actually told a couple of my friends back home the story. One of my friends down here, I told him, and he decided to go back to church because of my testimony. He said, Kenneth, he said, I know your background, so I know it's not a front. And he's like, you don't know, God's been knocking on my door ever since you told me that story. Wow, like, this is starting to get bigger than what I thought it was, just by me telling my story. And I'm starting to feel like that might be my calling. I don't want to get into shoes that I can't feel, but I'm starting to feel like the more I tell my story to people who doubt that God is real or that he can work things out in your life, it's definitely true. And I'm living proof.
You know, these testimonies, there's so many others that we could show today. We still have some more to share, but they just a representation of you and what God's doing in your life. So I hope in the days to come we get to do some more testimonies like that. We need to be showing these every week because God's real, and he's moving in our midst, and he's touching people, and that's what he wants to do. That's what he loves to do. He's waiting to do that. And so I'm so grateful to God for his goodness. It's not about a church. It's about him. It's about Jesus, and he's the one that changes people, and he's still doing that today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our mission here at Good News Church is empowering people to give life. And the mission is what you do of any organization, and people in the military know all about the mission, their assignment. And so our mission here, and it's been something that's been evolving over the years, over 18 years, really. Our mission when we started the church was blessing our world with the power of good news, power of the good news. And so that was our heart at the very beginning, but it's kind of evolved. And we, you know, as we looked at the words and, you know, praying about things and looking at things, it evolved into these words, empowering people to give life. The word empowerment means to give a power or authority to. It means to authorize, to enable, or to permit. And that's what we want to do here. That's what we're endeavoring to do here. We're endeavoring to give people power, give them power in their lives. And again, we don't do it. Jesus does it. We just work with God. We're partners with him. I'm not the great shepherd. You know, he's the great shepherd. I'm an under shepherd for him. But giving people the power, the courage, the strength to change their world. That's pretty bold, to change their world for Jesus Christ. Now, I wish it happened this way, but empowerment doesn't happen in one service. I wish, you know, early on when I was a young preacher, I mean, I'm trying to hit home runs every service. I've got 8 to 10 pages of notes, 50 scriptures. And we're just going to, you know, get them changed in one service. But that doesn't happen. It's not, doesn't happen in a service. It's a gradual thing. We are, all of us are working in progress. So I think of something that I've really grown in, and you may not think so, but I've really grown in over the last 18 years, is patience. To have great patience. And to be patient with the word. And, you know, if you're a farmer, you've got to be patient. You just can't plant the seed and go up there the next day and have the harvest. It's a process of things that you go through and there's trials and tribulations and storms and all kind of things that you do until harvest comes. And you look forward to that, but there's a lot that has to happen. So you have to be patient. You have to be patient with the seed of the Word. That the Word is planted and it's watered and God gives the increase. And it's different for every person. I don't understand if some people seem to grow faster than others, and you know, I don't understand all of why that is, but you've got to be patient. You've got to allow that seed to work in people's lives and allow it to be watered. And there's a lot of love that goes into the watering. I mean, it's not just the Word of God. It's other people in our lives. It is encouragement. It is strengthening from others. But it's love. You know, faith works by love. And so growth works by love. And in Ephesians chapter 4, talks about that, you know, edifying of the body, that we're, you know, we're growing together, we're edifying each other, building each other up in love. But I see the empowerment working in people, and I'm looking for empowerment to work in people. So if you meet me and I'm looking at you very intently, but I see that, you know, I guess it's like a baseball coach or a coach seeing that process working in a player when they start to get it. I mean, you have practice after practice after practice, and you get frustrated. You want to see results. You want to see the players winning in the game. I mean, we want to see you win. We want to see you succeed. We want you to be skillful in the Word and in prayer. We want you to have a vision for your life. And, you know, but it's just sometimes you're just not seeing progress. And again, going back to that patience. But I'm looking for people, and I'm looking for signs of empowerment. I'm looking for it in their words. I'm looking for it in their actions. When they finally get it, when they realize church, Christianity, living for God is not about them. When they realize that they've got a part in the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? Reaching people with the gospel, raising up disciples, followers of Jesus. You know, there's a lot of different messages that you can preach, and they say, you know, 75% of the messages preached in American churches are about getting your needs met. Another 20% are about, you know, victory, having victory in your life. And then 5% of the messages are about significance. You know, changing the world, making an impact on your world. And I don't know, I think we've got a little higher percentage here on significance because of our mission here. Of course, I want you to have life. And there's no way you can give something you don't have. I can't give you $10 unless I have $10. So there's no way you can give life unless you have that life imparted to you. And I love that. I love your needs being met. I love you being healed. I love, you know, God working in your family and God doing, and I love the testimonies of God blessing you. But I tell you, as I've grown in this, I love even more of God working through you. And that's what giving life is about, God working through you to touch other hurting people out there. So all of us are on the pipeline, so to speak. And I'm going to be patient with you wherever you're at. You may be in here today, it's your first time, and you're hurting, and you can't, there's no way, I mean, I've talked to people, there's no way I can help anybody else. I'm just trying to make it through today. I understand that. And we're going to love you and be patient with you. But I want you to know, as you come over time, the seed's going to be planted. The seed's going to be planted. And it's going to be watered, and it's going to be watered. And you're going to be loved on, you're going to be encouraged, you're going to be prayed for. And iron sharpens iron. But there's going to come a time when I'm going to see that, and I'm going to see empowerment coming upon you. I'm going to see courage coming on you. I'm going to see boldness and strength come upon you, and you start to make that shift. And when you still, your eyes will begin to be opened, and you'll see there's a lost and hurting, dying world out there, and you've got the answer. And you can do something about it. And instead of just saying to someone, I'll be thinking about you. And thank God you're thinking about him. But there's times when we have to do something right now, and we don't have the time to think about it. And just like when the soldiers go out in the battle, they've got to be equipped and ready to fight. And we want you to be equipped and ready for life circumstances and to be able to help someone else and actually make a difference. This is not the church where the pastors are the celebrities. This is the church where the believers are the celebrities. It's not about Susie and I and a few others, you know, doing great things for God. It's about the congregation as a whole doing great things for God. And so, but I love that. I love to see that transformation. And so we're all growing. We're all moving forward. But we have that attitude here at Good News Church as life givers. We can fix that. We can fix that in talking to other people and what they're going through. And when you are a life giver, you have an even bigger target on your back. Well, isn't that good news? even bigger target on your back from the enemy. He's going to want to steal and kill and destroy in a greater way in your life because you're a bigger threat. But I've realized over 18 years of ministry, one of the best ways to deal with my own problems is to minister and give life to someone else. And as I give life to others, when I'm hurting, I'm not promising you're not going to go through trials. I mean, as a life giver, you're probably going to go through more trial. I'm not prophesying that either. But you most likely are. But I've realized that as I get caught up in helping and blessing and loving and caring and helping fix problems in other people's lives, my problems get taken care of. And my needs are met. A great life giver of scripture is Acts 10:38. I'll read this from the Amplified. It says this: how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength, that's empowerment, strength and ability and power, and how he went about. Didn't say he was in the temple, he wasn't in the synagogue, he went about doing good. And in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. And we're learning here that it's not just the full-time minister, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. There's a sixfold ministry, which includes the believer. And we're all included in these verses here, this verse. All of us are included in this. God has anointed all of us with power. He's anointed all of us with the Holy Ghost. And we're all going about doing good and healing all those that are oppressed by the devil. For God is with us. Everybody say, God's with me.
God's with me.
Turn your neighbor and point to this.
God's with you.
He's with us. He's in us. He's on us. He's empowering us. He's given us power in a crazy world. How many know it's just crazy out there? You just want to just go home and, you know, lock yourself in your house and watch TV all day. I mean, it's dangerous out there. It's crazy. Crazy things happening. But we got something to offer people. And we got to go out in that crazy world and bring life. And bring God's love. So we're life givers. We're ambassadors for Christ. We are ministers of reconciliation. And so I look around here today and I see a lot of transformation that has taken place, that's taking place in lives today. And I look around and I know we're dealing with problems, but I want you to know today I'm not worried. I'm confident in the Word, in its ability to transform lives, to change lives. I'm confident today. I have great expectancy towards the future. I'm grateful for these past 18 years. We've met a lot of people, a lot of miracles, a lot of ministry, a lot of fun. But I just feel like in so many ways we're just getting started. And so our best days are not in the past. Our best days for this church and for you are waiting for us in our future. Amen.
One day they called me and let me know that my dad was in a coma. I flew as soon as possible. I went to Peru. It took me 3 days to get there. And when I got there, he was out of the coma. And they talked to me, he talked to me and said he was going to this dirt tunnel. And there was these people trying to get a hold of him. And he was wrestling. He said, no, I'm not going there. And he ran back to the light. And that's when he woke up. Well, I got there, he just waking up, and he told me, his story, and that's why I present the gospel to him. I talked to him about Jesus, about God, and he accepted him in his heart, and he got saved, finally. And he told me he wouldn't take it from anybody but me. He believed it, and my dad, a year later, passed, but he died. When he died peacefully. They called me back in March, and they told me that my mom, my grandmother was really, really sick. They had taken her to the hospital and she had refused dialysis. Her kidneys were shutting down. Actually, one was already not working and the other was only working 20%. And she had this anemia that was killing her. And she wanted to go home. That's all she wants to do is go home. And they called me and they told me, if you want to see her, you have to come. But I couldn't go. Timing was really bad for me, so I prayed over the phone for her, And the Holy Spirit prompted me to just pray for healing, nothing but healing, and that's what I did. And I prayed over her, and when she woke up the next morning, she said, who's the doctor that came to see me? And everybody looked at each other and said, no doctor. And she was, no, there was a doctor here last night, and he touched me. He put his hands over me, and she obviously she was feeling better. The doctor came back a few days later because they actually was expecting her to die. And when they test her kidneys again, the kidneys were working like perfect, like no problem at all, and her anemia was gone. In 3 or 4 days, her hemoglobin jumped from 7 to 12, and they were amazed. That gave me time for me to fly over there and get her safe. I shared the gospel with my grandmother, and she accepted it, and she was very resilient with everybody else that shared with her. But she listened to me, we got her safe, and then after 5 more months later, she passed away. But I'm very happy to say that thanks to my church, thanks to Pastor Nate, Pastor Matt, and Pastor Susie, they teach me, they taught me, they have, every time, every service they talk about it, they taught us how to listen to the Holy Spirit, they teach us how to do miracles. Although I wasn't believing of that at the beginning, I was just hesitating when I came to this church. It was different, praying in tongues, but I learned that all those is belongs to God, and that's what my church gave it to me 8 years ago. I started coming to this church and had changed my life, and I'm glad to say that changed many lives too.
My name is Kimberly Walden, and I've been attending Good News Church for a while. And one of the things that Good News Church has taught me is to go out into your world and share the gospel. I'd never really done that before, and I've, grew up in church, been in church all my life, and I thought it was always the pastor's job or somebody else's job. Definitely wasn't my job. But it actually says in the Word that it is our job. So I was actually online one night and on Facebook, and the Lord kind of led me to a person from high school that I knew in high school. And, you know, pretty much said, reach out to her. And I did. I had no idea what she was going through. I hadn't seen or spoken to her in, you know, well over 25 years. And didn't know what was going on. But I reached out to her, and she responded back to me and let me know that her marriage of 22 years had fallen apart. And there was just a lot of really bad things going on in her life. And so I started sharing about God's love and how much God loved her and cared for her. And I started sharing the gospel with her and asked her the million-dollar question, if she had, you know, died today or 100 years from now, if she knew where she was going. And she said, no, she really didn't. And I let her know that, you know, it's a gift. You can receive it. It's real easy. And the next day, she responded back and said, you know, she had a good day, so she was good, didn't need it. And I let her know that it was actually a matter of life and death, and that it would change her destiny, and that I hope one day that she would choose life. Well, I was actually on the way to the dog park a few days later to take my dog to the dog park, and she called me, and she started talking and said, you know, I really do need to say that prayer. And so I actually had a script from one of our outreaches with me. And while I'm at the dog park on the phone with her, I led her to the Lord. She received Christ as her Lord and Savior. I asked her at that time, I said, is there any hope of reconciliation for your marriage? And she said, absolutely not. And I went home that night and I prayed over her and her husband, whom I had never met her husband before. And a few weeks later, I went to visit her. And I actually, you know, brought her to church, my family's church in Camden, South Carolina. And she sat and cried the whole service because she just was overwhelmed by God's love. And that's, you know, God's love is irresistible. And when you finally tap into that, it really is overwhelming. She came to church with me that day, and she's been going there ever since. But when I came back to visit her, she let me know that she was going to try to work things out with her husband. Which I thought was wonderful. While I was speaking with her, her phone was blowing up with texts, and I asked her if she needed to address that situation and take care of whoever was on the phone, and she said, no, it's my husband. And I said, is he okay? And she said, yeah. She said, Kimberly, something's changing. And so I asked her, I said, is he saved? And she said, no. I said, then text him, ask him the million-dollar question. And so she texted him, and he said, no, I'm scared. I don't know what I need to be doing. I don't know what's going on. You know, I don't want to do that. And she picked up the phone and called him and said, and handed me the phone and said, here, you need to talk to Kimberly, and handed me the phone. And on the other end of the phone was a man who was broken, who his life was falling apart, and he was weeping on the other end of the phone.
Kimberly reached out to me one evening over the telephone, and I was overcome. I came back to church for the first time, probably in my entire life, open to the message, and everything has changed. I mean, my entire life has changed from that day on forward.
The next day, he was blowing up my phone, saying how everything had changed, how he came home, and instead of sitting on his couch and having anger and resentment and destruction, that he had joy, and he just wanted to shout it from the mountaintops and let everybody know that he had joy in his heart, he had love in his heart. And he had never felt that before, and he had never really gone to church a whole lot in his life. And he basically just said, you know, no one ever told me that God loved me.
It was kind of a light at the end of the tunnel. My entire life was darkness, anger, pain, and it really has, I guess, taken that away.
He shared with me, he said, you don't understand the darkness that I was in. He said, you don't understand the dark place. And he showed me a picture of himself, and you could see death in his eyes. And he told me that week he pretty much sat on the couch with a pistol in his mouth. And so, God knows. When God leads you or guides you or stirs on your heart to share the gospel with someone you don't know what they may be going through. And so by the grace of God, he is still alive. by the grace of God, my friend's marriage is being restored. By the grace of God, they started attending church together, and they were just filled with the Holy Spirit together. I said, what a remarkable showing of God's love for us. But we have to make that choice. We have to make the choice on our own to allow God in. And once you understand God's love for you, it will change your life forever.
I'm just so aware of the fact that sometimes we're the only connection for people to God, and maybe be the only link in people's lives, and how it's important that what we have inside of us, you know, how we pray, how we conduct ourselves, how we respond to situations. We are Jesus to the world. We're his ambassadors. We represent him. And it's just so amazing the testimonies we have of giving life. Before I receive the offering for today, I want to read a testimony from Mike and Claire Netzler. So 2 weeks ago, we got the email from Pastor Matt about the financial need in the church. We shared it with our kids and asked them to join with us for a family offering, as this is their church too. Like everyone else, we had some pressing financial needs that needed to be taken care of sooner rather than later. Anybody relate to that? We asked the kids to pray about what their part should be and give their best. They did. And we were all a little more surprised by the amount we were able to collect among ourselves. It was a substantial offering in comparison to our needs. We were so excited to give that offering. Only God could know that 2 weeks after giving that offering, the tithe from the following weeks of work for me would be just a few dollars short of the amount we gave. Praise God. Yeah, praise God. He is so faithful. I've had the most profitable 2 weeks in my freelance work so far. And so far is in all caps. Again, so happy and thankful to be able to bring the tithe to our church. Not only that, but the kids are starting to see a quick returns on the seed they had sown as well. You know, my folks traveled for the Catholic Church. Part of their ministry was for the Catholic Church and introduced tithing to different churches that had never heard about tithing before. And then so my mom had actually a stewardship article that she would write on a monthly basis. And then she wrote an article for a magazine that was called Adventures in Tithing. I like that. Adventures in Tithing. Because tithing, when you and giving, when you get involved in it, it gets to be exciting. It gets to be an adventure. When you have a need and you could use the resources for your own need, but you give it as God directs, I mean, that's exciting. I mean, you're living on the edge. but just to trust him, and I love what Malachi says, to prove him, to test him in it, that he is so faithful, he's so good, and how he comes. And he's got a million ways to bless us and get resources to us. But there's a scripture that I thought that it's kind of a life-giving scripture from Proverbs chapter 11. You guys put that up, Proverbs 11, verse 24. And this is from the Amplified. It says, "There are those who generously scatter abroad and yet increase more. There are those who withhold more than is fitting or what is justly due, but it results only in want. The liberal person shall be enriched, and he who waters shall himself be watered." Now, when you give into this ministry and other ministries as the Lord directs you, you are watering thirsty people. Did you know that? You're allowing the Word of God to go forth, teaching, training, fellowship, all these things to happen. And it couldn't happen without your giving and your generosity. The Bible says that we are washed with the water of the Word. So you're actually, as you give today, and I want you to think about that, the person on your right and left and behind you, you're actually making a way for them to grow and to find their purpose and to fulfill God's plan for their lives. And not only that, but as we're sowing today, we're sowing for future generations. and future people that will be coming. You're making a way for others to come. And I love, you know, we are in the transformation business, all of us. We're in the transformation business. That word means to change in form, appearance, or structure, metamorphosis, to change in condition, nature, or character. And so as we're giving today, we're opening the door for transformation. But I want you to know this, whatever you do for others comes back to you in a greater way. So as you give into others, as you water others, as you make transformation possible for them, you are opening the door for transformation in your life in a much greater way than you gave. So as we give today, we give with expectancy. And I want you to know this, and I really believe this. It's really been strong in our prayer time. We've been having amazing prayer times here at the church. But I believe that God's going to make a way for us in a greater way than we've ever seen before to water others. He's going to get seed into your hands. Resources like you've never seen before come into your hands so you can be a great blessing in this world. And it just takes some time for us to have wisdom and maturity, to grow in things, and to realize when those resources come into our hands, to pray about it. What should I keep? What should I give? What should I save? I mean, and to have that maturity. And God doesn't want any resources to come into our hands to hurt us. He wants to give us wealth and add no sorrow with it. So I just want you to know what's coming your way, because we are people. We want to see that change. We want to see that transformation. We want to see people being blessed in a greater way. But the resources, and that's been one of the pieces, not the only thing, but one of the pieces that I believe will be in this end time revival of what's coming. And this church, and we're not the only church, but we're going to be a part of that. And so resources. So I want you to know, resources are coming. Yes. Harvest is coming. Yes. More is on the way. More than you've ever seen before. And so I thought about this in watering. And, you know, so there's different kinds of ways to water. You can be, you know, with the little hose in your sink. You become spraying your dishes. You got that hose. Then you got the garden hose. We call it down here the hose pipe, right, Susie? And up north we say hose. Down here we say hose pipe. So I don't know who's right. It doesn't matter. Anyway, but we have the hose. You can do a little bit more. But I see the fire hose. So you got to get ready. You got to get stronger to be able to handle that thing, to be able to pour it out and bless others. Amen? And so as you're giving today, just be thinking about people. And be thinking about others. And God's going to take that seed, and He's going to touch a lot of lives, but He's going to get more into your hands so you can touch a lot more lives. Amen? You know, you got your yellow card in your bulletin for cash or for credit card. We have the Hey, I'm Here cards. Please fill those out. I didn't mention they've got a men's event coming up in a couple weeks. Man, be looking for that. Sign up for that. Other kind of things for your Hey, I'm Here card. And just give us the Lord leads for your tithes and offerings. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this offering today. We just follow you and follow the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.